Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best People We Know radio show, where we bring you every week celebrities and experts who have been super successful in life, personal, business, and they are here sharing their success secrets and tips with you so that you can be your most happy, purposeful, peaceful, successful person, too. And it is just a pleasure to be here with you today. My name is Deb Scott, and a certified professional life coach, and I'm also author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside Down World Right Side Up, which is always a good thing and perfect for this time of year in January, getting 2011 off to a great start. And before I introduce our exciting guest, he is absolutely amazing. So many people have written in. You know about him. You've seen him on PBS. He's been everywhere, New York Times number one bestseller, and he knows something about success. So this is a great opportunity for you to call in and ask your questions. But I just want to make sure that you do mark us as a favorite on the show. We have shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but sometimes we get special guests, and we have shows on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or a Saturday morning. And you want to get those worry-free updates because, you know, this is a great opportunity to call in live, meet people that you wouldn't normally get to, you know, talk with in any other venue. So you really want to take advantage of what we bring you on this radio show. And I'll keep bringing you guests if you keep showing up and bringing your friends. So without further ado, I have to let you know about our guest, if you don't already, Jack Zufelt. Unbelievable. He is a very busy man. He gets paid thousands of dollars to speak around the world, and he's here with us today on the show. And I want to encourage everybody to call in. Go call your friends right now. 347-637-1318. Press 1, and you can speak with Jack live and ask him your questions. But for those of you who don't know who world-famous Jack is, he conducts seminars and customized training programs as well as life-changing weekend retreats all over the world, and he's here to share his success with you. He is the author of the best-selling book, The DNA Success, which hit number one bestseller in the first 3 weeks it was out, and it's also in 15 languages. Unbelievable. He's been awarded the Presidential Medal of Merit by the President of the United States. He's also been honored by the United States Senate for teaching Americans how to achieve better results in their personal lives and careers. He's been interviewed on more than 2,000 radio and TV talk shows. Oh, I cannot even imagine how one human being can do that. PBS has aired a special on Jack with his concepts, which have been, you know, translated in over 127 countries via satellite. And he's also there's just so much stuff, I can't even keep it all straight. He's been selected by Winner's Digest as a publication of Fortune 500 executives as one of the two most effective speakers in the United States of America, and the other one was the President of the United States. Okay, that is unbelievable. He's listed in Who's Who of Human Potential Superstars, and the best of the best by the world-famous Nightingale Conant, which we all know about, is all success-oriented people sign up for that. And they have featured his best-selling audio tape series in their catalog, and he's also been featured in Success Magazine, and he is just everywhere and anywhere where people that are successful want to be, and he's with us today on the Best People We Know radio show. Hello, Jack, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, or afternoon in your world.
Yes, that's right. It's it's noontime here in the East Coast, and I appreciate you so much calling in and sharing with people either live, listening, or on iTunes and the replays. It's just really a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to have you here. So thank you so very, very much for being with us.
Well, it makes me happy to be on your show because I know that you're helping people worldwide as well. And for me to be able to help you do that and add my information, it's the way it's supposed to be. I want to help people around the world, too, and you're helping me do that, too.
So we are the best people we know. That's why we're in good company. We can be the Mutual Admiration Society. And I do think when you give things in the world that help other people, it's a boomerang effect. And, you know, we all help each other. And I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, you know, you can't make all the mistakes yourself. You have to learn from others. And you certainly know what you're doing. And it's really a gift. So I really, really appreciate you coming on. And so let's get started, because this is going to be an hour that's going to be life-changing for a lot of people. And I'm going to include myself in that. Why, you know, there's so many places we could start. But can we just try to begin with, you know, the common threads, you know, the common things that people want in being successful, what they are and what they aren't? Could you start by sharing that?
Well, yes. And before I answer that, though, how about if we set it up so people understand that this is not something magical. This is not something hard or outside of their reach, or they have to become really stronger or different than they currently are. They have already applied what I'm going to share with you today. They have already applied this many times in their life. They just don't know how to apply it at will and whenever they want. It's just something they do automatically. For example, everybody on this call that listens to you or on this radio show has learned to drive a car, has learned to walk, ride a bike, cook meals, those kinds of things. They've learned lots of things. They have degrees. And they learned how to do those things for one main reason. And when people overlook that main reason, they tend to overlook the cause of what makes anyone, including themselves, successful. And the reason I learned this whole concept is that my background says I should not be what I am. I don't know if you remember reading my bio, but I was raised on the Navajo Indian Reservation in Arizona, and I was the only white person in my high school class, and they did not like me because I was a white guy. I know what prejudice feels like because of skin color. And they beat me up a lot. I was a coward. I ran home 3 minutes from school nearly every day for years. And I did not do well in high school. I barely got out of high school. I got C's and D's and a few F's. And the teachers basically told me they passed me to get rid of me. They did not like me.
Wow. Now that's got to be resonating with some people listening. This is amazing. Wow.
Well, my self-esteem was non-existent. I knew I was a failure. And because of that experience in high school, I made the decision not to go to college because I assumed I would experience more of the same. Wrong, but I didn't know that. And so I've never been to college one day in my life, although I have now spoken at leading universities. I have never been a student at one. And I went on with no self-esteem, no confidence, and certainly no money, and no experience to be highly successful in business. And now I teach people principles of success that will apply to anybody. And the reason I want them to know that is that no one can say to me, well, you're special. You have something I don't have. That's why you're successful. I want the world to know that if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, and I think that is so powerful, because people will only implement the change that they believe is possible for them. And, you know, you prefacing this time together today with your personal experience and the pain that you felt and people connecting with you, knowing, wow, I can relate to Jack, or Jack can relate to me, and he understands how I feel. I think that that's so powerful, to open up our minds to the change that we want to receive. So I really, really can't thank you enough for being transparent to share those things with people listening right now.
Well, it sets them up for success rather than for failure. It allows people to be open to the fact that, wow, I wonder what Jack's got that's different than others, because I used to come out of the chute thinking like this. Without self-esteem, I was wanting the world to see me as Superman, and so I acted like Superman. And I was making a little bit of difference, but people couldn't relate to me because they could see only Superman. When I started sharing, and I was prompted to do so, when I started sharing my failings and the things I struggled with and how I got past them, all of a sudden I had a worldwide audience that was so receptive. That's the reason my book and CDs are bestsellers. I sell in 52 countries now. all over the world. The Internet's helped make that happen, but I've also spoken all over the world. And that started because of my success in business, and people who come to know me would know my background, and they'd say, would you come and talk to our group and tell us why you're so successful? What's your secret? Well, I didn't know my secret. I'd never spoken before. I just did it. And so I had to analyze, well, what did I do? What was going on for me? And in my 20s, I was introduced to a motivational speaker on a cassette when I was about 22, first time I ever even heard the concept of motivation or self-help. It didn't exist in my world. And somebody handed me a Zig Ziglar tape, and that opened my eyes to that world. Well, I suddenly became an avid student of those kinds of principles, self-help and motivation and all that stuff, and I started doing what everybody does. In fact, in the U.S. right now, $2.4 billion is spent every year, an average of $1,200 per person in the United States on self-help stuff. I jumped on that immediately, and I started doing everything they told me to do. I did goal setting religiously. I would sit on my couch, or I'd sit in a lotus position, and I would visualize with my eyes closed. I would visualize being out of debt or having a certain amount of money, driving a Mercedes. I did affirmations until I was blue in the face. Affirmations. People say, are you talking to yourself again? No, I'm just repeating over and over what I want. I did all of those things. Read books. I got a library full of self-help books. And you know what
but
happened?
I think that, you know, I think that that's so important to share, too, because so many people, and I know I speak with a lot of those people, and obviously you have, too, you know, that just keep trying to read one more book and getting that magic bullet, you know, that one thing that is going to put them over the top. And how many people listening right now have tried so many different self-help recipes, you know, to get the
right
change that they desire and the feelings that they want. So, you
well,
know,
today
I think
in
that
your call, in your radio show, I'm going to dispel the myths about those things, and books are one of them. And I, like you, I have a best-selling book. And yet I'm going to show why my book isn't going to make you successful.
Now,
I mean,
I'm
going to speak truth. People love truth. I believe that my job is to shine a bright light on truth. The audience or the listeners, the viewers, because I've been on TV as well, their job is to embrace that truth. If I teach people that 2 and 2 is 4 and they embrace it, they're going to get right answers from then on. If they continue to hang on that 2 and 2 is 5, they're going to stay stuck.
Yeah.
So let me share with you the problem. There's two people out there that have identified a problem, and I have addressed it big time. And one of them goes clear back to a guy named Mark Twain. Mark Twain is a philosopher everybody knows around the world. He said about 80 years ago, I can teach anybody how to get what they want out of life. The problem is I can't find anybody who can tell me what they want. So problem number one identified 80-some years ago. This was before the self-help movement started, which was in the 1940s. Then along come the self-help movement, and Earl Nightingale, Norman Vincent Peale, and those granddaddies of the self-help movement started it. Well, Earl Nightingale said this. This was about 30 years ago. Today in America, people can be whatever they want, but very few know what they want.
Mm.
So that's a problem. That's a problem. And I've now done research on that, and I've come up with a number that's accurate. 97% of the people out there cannot accurately identify what they want with all their heart. They can make lists of goals easily. I want this, I want that. And then they find out, just like, well, here's a pop quiz that'll kind of put people on the right stage, the right way of thinking. And I know you even know the answer. Everybody does. New Year's resolutions are made to be...
well, broken.
Broken. Yep. Yep. And it doesn't matter which country I ask that in, they know the answer. And so people know New Year's resolutions are a joke. They're made to be broken. It's a kind of like a phrase everybody knows. Why is that? Well, because they don't work. They don't make you successful. And the reason is we're not resolute about them. And they're not something we want with all our heart. And 8 out of 10 things people write down on a piece of paper and call goals fall in that category. 8 out of 10. So it's an 80% failure rate. 2 in 10 will happen. And so I identified
wow
what was there for those 2 that do happen that's not there for the other 8. And worse yet, when I do this with audiences around the world, I'll go down to the audience in, with a microphone and put it to the people's mouth so they can give me the answer everybody gets to hear. I ask, do you do goal setting? And they say yes. Have you been taught that it's a good thing and a way to be successful? And they say yes. So I say, well, let me ask you something. Have you ever noticed that some of the goals you wrote down on a piece of paper didn't happen? And, of course, they all say yes. Then I ask this question, how many? And again, it's a huge number, 8, 9 out of 10 don't happen. So I then ask, and when you look at your list of goals that you said you'd have complete that week or that month or that year, and most of them didn't happen, how do you feel about you? And guess what they say? I feel like a loser. I feel like I must not have what it takes. Something's wrong with me. So guess what they do? They redouble their efforts with goal setting. And that's the definition of insanity, continuing to do what you've always done, expecting different results. Goal setting not only does not work, it's negative. It makes you feel bad about yourself because most of the things don't happen. Everything, in fact, one of my mentors, not mentors, one of my friends was quoted. He's a really popular speaker, teacher, trainer, and if I gave you his name, you'd know who he is. He was quoted in Reader's Digest, and this is a publication, for those of you who listen to this show around the world, this is a publication with 22 million subscribers here in the U.S. I don't know what it is worldwide, but it's a big news, I mean, magazine. He was quoted as saying that if your goals are not written down, they're merely fantasies.
Say that again?
If your goals are not written down, they're merely fantasies.
Okay.
And then he went on to explain that without writing them down, you will not make them happen. And I have to say, and I will say this to his face, that is a lie. Because I wrote nothing down. I gave up on goal setting in my early 30s. I said, it didn't work for me, and I just threw it out the window. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I went on to be a millionaire. I went on to be happily married, raise 4 kids. I have an extremely successful life. I never wrote down I'd be a best-selling author or even have a book. I didn't write any of this stuff down. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because writing it down does not give you power. If it did, everybody would write down, and that's what we'd teach kids in school, and everybody would get A's. And every sales organization would meet quota. It doesn't give a person power. What it does is write down things that aren't true. If they could write down the things that are true, they still would not achieve it because they wrote it down. They would achieve it because they want it. So I went back in the earlier years, before 1940, when goal setting was introduced, and I studied people like the Wright brothers and Thomas Edison and Winston Churchill, and I went even further back, even into the Bible, pharaohs, for example. Pharaohs built pyramids. There were no pyramid-building seminars back then. Or how to build a pyramid in 10 easy days or 10 years or 100 years. There weren't any self-help anything until the 1940s. There was nothing, and yet highly successful people. And I also found out something interesting. One of my friends is a consultant to the Japanese, teaching the Japanese how to interact with American business people. Because we have totally different cultures, and oftentimes Americans step on toes ignorantly. Well, he found out that the Japanese don't do goal setting at all for a reason that I never, ever dreamed of. Guess why they don't do it? They say that it limits you.
Goal setting, writing, is limits.
It limits you. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Talk about some upside down, right side up thinking here.
Right. Well, the Japanese are extremely successful. I mean, whatever they set their mind to do, they do. We know that they're industrious, they're smart, and they excel in so many arenas, and they don't do goal setting. Now, why is it that then we have been taught that goal setting is the granddaddy of all success principles, and if you don't do it, you won't be successful? That's a lie. If writing it down gave you power, then I would preach it. But I've written them down, and I didn't get them, and the things I didn't write down, I did get. Like, I never wrote down that I'd be on radio shows, 2,000 radio shows. I never wrote that down. I did write down that the time of the shows, I wrote down when I'd be on your show today and how to call in, but I didn't write.
This is very good. Thank you for that.
Well, see, I had to write down the directions, but if I want to take my family to Disneyland, I don't write down, I will take my family to Disneyland. What I write down is the instructions and the flight number, and or if I'm going to drive, I write down everything I need to do to prepare for it. That kind of list is an important thing, but that's not why I got to Disneyland. So goal setting not only doesn't work, it's negative, don't do it, there's a better way, and I'm going to share with your listeners today what that is. Then let's go to the next thing that people try to use to be successful, and it's called self-help books. I'll ask audiences around the world, raise your hand, will you please raise your hand if you have at least one self-help book in your library? And they all raise their hands. Okay, keep your hands up if you've got 5, 10, 20, 50. The champion was a woman in Sydney, Australia. I was speaking to 8,000 people, and I said, okay, anybody's got 500 or more, stand up. 3 people stood up. I had them yell back out to me how many they had. One had a little over 500, one had was like 580, and a woman yelled out, 1,500. Oh, my gosh. My question for those 3 people, which was for the whole audience actually, was, how many more books do you need to be successful? What are you doing here? What are you doing in this seminar? You should be successful already. How many does it take? Now, picture this. I'm walking around on stage talking about this very subject, asking them about how many self-help books they got, and then I ask this question. How many self-help books does it take to be successful? And I got mine in my hand, and, of course, they expect me to say only one, mine. If I said that, I would be lying. Because people were successful before my book. And there have been people who have been successful since my book came out, but not because of it. I know a couple people who have read my book, and they aren't moving one bit forward in being more successful. What's the story here? So I ask this question. Have you read the book called Think and Grow Rich? Everybody says, well, most everybody, half the audience will say yes. So raise your hand if you read that book, Think and Grow Rich, very popular book. They brag that about 50 million copies of that book's been sold in the last 40 or 50 years. It's a popular book, and it's a good book. So tell me something. Raise your hand if you've read it. Half the hands go up, and every audience I've ever spoken to. Then I ask this question. Will you keep your hands up, please, if you're rich? If they're not, put them down. If you're not, put them down. All hands go down. 100% go down. I'm sorry, that's not true. I've been in my history now of doing this for 20 years. 2 hands have stayed up. And
wow.
They say they're wealthy. And I ask them, is it because of the book? And some, they said no, but the book was awesome. So I tell the audience, you got the think part down, but the grow rich didn't happen. So either you're stupid or the book's faulty. Which is it? And it's neither. Here's the truth. First of all, I set it up so they know they're not stupid. I ask, can you learn what someone's willing to teach you? And they always say yes, 100% say yes. So it's not can you learn. So you read a book called Think and Grow Rich, and you don't grow rich. So you're not stupid. We know that. Why is it that I personally know of 2 women who became very wealthy, and they claim that book is why? And one of them is Mary Kay of Mary Kay Cosmetics. She has endorsed me. She said some really nice stuff about my material. Why is it that this, and this other woman you wouldn't know, she wrote a book in the 80s called How to Succeed in Business Without Being a Man. She was really successful, one of the first women to become a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable in both insurance and real estate in the state of Utah. And she had investors come from all over the world. In fact, some Koreans moved to Utah so they could be with her, around her, while she helped them with their investments. Really successful and wealthy women. And they both said that book did it for them. So I know the book has merit. So how come there are so many millions who read that book and didn't get rich? And it's not because they're stupid, and it's not because the book's faulty. It's because they didn't want to apply what was in it. That's all. It's not stupidity. So we know self-help books work. At least some of them are pretty bad, so let me just make sure that we know that all of them aren't good. There's some of them that are really ridiculous, and I'm diametric to what their teachings are. So if it's not going to be self-help books, then what are we going to do for success? I know, let's listen to a motivational speaker. And I ask my audiences around the world, have you done that? Have you listened to one of those guys in the last, say, year or two? Male or female, have you heard one? Yes. Was he good? Yes. So tell me something. How long did you stay motivated? And I'll run down to the audience like Donahue used to do on the radio, on TV, and put a microphone to people's mouths, because I don't set this up. I just shoot from the hip knowing the answers are going to be something like this. How long did you stay motivated? 2 days, 2 weeks, till I got out of the parking lot, to the end of the CD? nobody says, they changed my life. What's wrong with this picture? So I tell everybody, motivational speakers, no matter how good they're speaking and how good the material is, and that's why I won't allow anybody to introduce me as a motivational speaker, because I know they have no lasting effect. It's kind of like going to a good movie. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. It can entertain you, and you just love it. And you tell everybody, you need to go see that movie. But it doesn't change your life. And these motivational speakers are really good. Some of them are really good. There was a guy who I personally know. I was actually sitting next to him on a VIP table, and he's quizzing me on what to say next, because he's one of the best speakers ever on this planet. And he was hired by this company for $75,000 to speak. And he was speaking at the rewards banquet that night. And he's sitting next to me, and he says, wanting details about the subject that he was, or the company and the subject that we were going to talk about. So I educated him, and he got on stage and did a phenomenal job. During the day before that, though, he had spoken for 4 hours on his subject. And he's good on stage. He's one of the best ever. And his material's okay. I mean, some of it I disagree with, but pretty darn good on some of it, and his name is Tony Robbins. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, I think everybody knows him, yes.
I mean, he's probably the best guy on stage, and he's powerful, and he's got some good stuff, although I disagree with some of it. And after he got through speaking to 3,000 people in the audience, most of whom I knew, I started doing part of my research. I started calling them a month later. I called all of them, or had them called, and ask this question. Did you like what Tony had to say? Yes. Was he good? Yes. Did you enjoy him? Yes. Do you think his material was worthy? Oh, yes. Okay, qualifying question. Last one. So has anything changed in your life or your business because of what you heard from Tony after 4 hours on stage? 100% said no. No change. And as far as I'm concerned, you can't get better than Tony on stage. There's a lot of good people on stage, but he's as good as you can get. What's wrong with this picture? So I tell everybody, don't rely on motivational speakers to make you successful either. Not that their teaching's wrong, but the bottom line premise is this. Motivation from an outside source like that has no lasting effect. It can motivate you for a short time. But once you go back home, you settle back down into your life, that motivation goes away. So motivational speakers don't work. Goal setting, it doesn't work. Self-help books doesn't work. Motivational speakers have no lasting effect. Then what does? I know. Let's try affirmations. I did that too. I wrote affirmations and read them voraciously every day. Read them and said them out loud. And I'm not talking a few. I'm talking thousands and thousands of times. I actually read them into a cassette, recorded them, and I listened to them under my pillow at night. I wanted to affirm my way to success because the guru said that's what you should do. I've now researched the world of affirmations. I've researched their own promotions, which actually have some serious caveats in it that says things like this. A subliminal message and an affirmation cannot make you successful unless that's what you really want. And I'm going, okay. There's a crack in that problem. There's a flaw in that problem or that solution. And I did affirmations, and then something really hit me. I had been, well, here's the premise. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like to be lied to? Everybody says no. Then why is it okay for you to lie to you? And that looks like this. And this is what I had been doing faithfully. I own my home free and clear. I make $150,000 a year. I own a BMW. I was saying things like that over and over again. I'm in shape. And somebody wants to lose weight. I weigh 125 pounds. When they don't, they weigh 175 pounds, and their home is not out of debt, and I pay off my credit cards, and they have $50,000 on credit cards. That's lying. And lying is not acceptable in my mind. It's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form, including white lies. People say, well, what about white lies? You know, lies don't come in colors. Lies are lies. Don't tell a lie. Don't lie to anybody else, and don't lie to yourself. And so I say affirmations are an exercise in futility. You can feel like you're doing good, but the end result is you've just affirmed your way and said some good things, but it doesn't bring you success. I know, because I did that. And I finally said, you know, I'm not $150,000 richer, nor is my house paid off. After doing this for 5 years, nor is my house paid off, and nor do I have my credit cards paid off. None of those things happened, although I affirmed them probably more than anybody else ever, because I listened to them every night as I went to bed. It was like a 30-minute recording that I listened to every night under my pillow. Didn't work for me. Visualization, same thing. Here's the thing about visualization. When you want something badly enough, you can't help but visualize it. Here's a perfect example. I was introduced to my wife. She was a blind date. Her roommate came to me and said, Jack, my roommate's not, she's dating a guy that's not very good for her. Would you see if you could talk her out of it or help her? And I didn't know her from Adam. I had no idea what she looked like or anything. And I made this statement, yeah, sure, I'll save her. I went to save a soul. I had a reputation for helping, and this was 35 and a half years ago. I have no idea what she looked like, nor did I care. I wasn't there for a date. I was there to save a soul. So I finally get arrange a date for her to go to dinner with me so I could talk with her about this. First time I see her is when she opens up the door, and oh, my gosh, my motive changed because she was stunning. She was beautiful. And all of a sudden, my desire to save a soul was added to. I became more interested in her. And we sat there at a restaurant, at a Japanese restaurant, the kind where you kind of sit on the floor. We sat there for 6 hours.
Wow.
The first hour was eating, and the next 5 hours, lots of water, because I didn't have a lot of money, and we didn't just keep eating, but they allowed us to stay in this little room, private room, and we had our first date. And I fell in love with Marcy that night. When I went, because of the things that happened in that conversation, for the first time in my life, and I was 24 and a half, for the first time in my life, I felt safe with someone, a woman. I felt like I could just be me. Now, I understand, I was married at 19 and divorced at 22. I have two children from a former marriage, and I was a mess when I was a young man. I was the kind of man I don't think any woman should look at. If I was a dad and some guy like me was trying to approach my four daughters to marry, I'd beat him away with a baseball bat. I was not a good man. So I found God and I found Jesus Christ and I changed my life. Anyway, I'm sitting here with Marcy and I'm having the most incredible emotional and spiritual experience of my life. When I went home that night, I could not get her out of my mind. I did not go home and write her name on a piece of paper and that said, Marcy will be my wife. I did not do goal setting like that. I didn't affirm it. I couldn't quit visualizing her. I saw her everywhere I turned. And I knew this, I wanted her in my life forever. So we had another date, and 6 months later we were married. We were engaged in 3 months. And
wow.
I never wrote down anything on a piece of paper, never visualized it. Although, when you want something badly enough, I don't care what it is, whether it's a new pair of shoes, you know, you can visualize a new pair of shoes. You can visualize a new car. You will do that because you want it. But the reverse is not true. If you visualize it, you will get it. Not true. So the answer is simply this. Oh, before I give you the answer. In the world of self-help, people have been taught this. And it's not my concept. It's been taught longer than I've been around. And it is this. You have the power within you to do or have or become whatever you want. And I ask my audiences around the world, have you heard that? And they say yes. Do you believe it? Yes. Everybody believes that because it's the truth. We do have power within us to learn how to do or become or have whatever we want. So everybody believes that. Then I ask this, which they do not have an answer for. I ask this question. Have you ever been taught where the switch to that power that you believe you have, where's the switch? And I get stunned looks like thinking, processing. Mm-hmm. I will find the answer soon. And almost always people are pointing at their chest. And sometimes they'll verbalize by saying it's within. So I say this. I believe it is within, but is it in your elbow? What are you pointing at your chest for? Is it in your knees? Where is it? No, it's just within. And they point at their heart. I'm pretty sure they're doing it for that reason. And I said, okay, let's assume you're right. Go in and get some. Go turn it on. And they can't. And until they learn how to flip on the switch to that power within them, they stay stuck. And then, back to the original statement I had at the very beginning, they've already flipped on the switch in so many areas of their life they can't even keep track of it, like learning how to walk. How far back do we want to go? Learning how to drive a car. Every 16-year-old, and I've had six of them, It's for children. Every 16-year-old wants a car and a driver's license, or a driver's license and a car. Everyone wants one, really bad. And they get one. I've not yet seen a teenager write that down or affirm it or read a book about it. They just want it, and they get it. Same with me. That's the way everybody makes things happen. I believe you have a radio show, Deb, because you somewhere along the line caught the vision of its power to help people and how you might use it as a tool to get your message out and bless people's lives and all the things that motivate you to help people, and you made it happen. Did you sit in a lotus position and visualize it and affirm yourself to success?
I know that we have a very busy chat room, and we have people that are already raising their hand on the switchboard to speak with you. And if everybody listening is like me, I mean, you're just captivated, and your mouth's just, you know, opening wide, saying, "Wow, this is unbelievable!" Because what you're giving us is a whole new way of thinking and seeing things, and the goal setting, the self-help books, the listening to the motivational speakers, the affirmations, and the visualization, you know, all these things I'm sure that we've all tried. So now that you've whet our appetite to the point that we're absolutely frothing at the mouth, because, you know, really what you do, it works. And, you know, we're waiting to hear, you know, what changed you to become the successful person that you are, because clearly your life is working, and it's happening.
All right.
And
then
we want what you have.
Okay. Now I've set it up perfectly. Now I'm going to give the answer with one additional thing I'm going to state first. What I just shared with everybody is, as you described so well, is being called a breakthrough or a wake-up call for the self-help industry. It's like provocative. It's contrarian. I'm saying goal setting doesn't work. I was featured in Success Magazine, and this was like 7 or 8 years ago, and the editor-in-chief started the article, "Jack Zufelt says goal setting does not work. How dare he?" And yet he goes on to do a story about it. And Nightingale Conant said the same thing. "Jack, this is the most amazing concept we've ever had. They put me on the cover of their magazine. They did centerfold promotions, 250,000 mailing pieces on it, and claimed that my audio program is the hottest new product in the history of their company, which was doing $500 million a year at that point. Why is that? Well, because I'm coming along and saying, well, the emperor doesn't have any clothes. Here's the truth. And my main mentor said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. And so many people are not free. I wasn't free when I did goal setting, affirmation, visualization. So when they asked me to come and tell my secret, I did not know what it was. I just did it. So when I analyzed it, I found out, and here's the answer that people want to hear now, because this is like bringing it to a close. The secret to success, I call it the DNA of success, which is the title of my book. The DNA, or the building blocks of success, building blocks of life, is simply this. You have to know what you want with all your heart. On a scale from 1 to 100, it has to be 100. And here's the problem. 97% of the people cannot identify their hundreds. They can say things like this. Well, I'd like to be a black belt in karate. In fact, a true story. Professor at the University of Utah said that to me. I was teaching his 14-year-old boy, because I have a black belt in karate. And he said, "Jack, I want to be a black belt like you. What's it going to take? It's been a goal of mine for 15 years. Guys, if you have a goal and been moving it forward for 15 years and haven't even bothered to find out what it takes to get, that's not real. That's a wish. And somebody told him, write down your goal and eventually that'll happen. That's a lie. So I told him, it'll take about 4.5 years of your life and about an hour of practice. Well, his eyes got big and his mouth dropped open, and he's like, what? I had no idea. I guess I don't want to be a black belt that bad. Then take it off your list. Shouldn't have been there in the first place. Now flip the coin over. A 14-year-old boy, not his son, but a big barrel-chested 240-pound kid, 6'4", comes to me and says, Mr. Zufelt, I want to be a black belt like you. Same question the professor asked, what's it going to take? I told him 5.5 years, not 4.5 like the professor, but 5.5, because he was physically disabled. He had surgery on his legs. He was born with his feet turned out, facing left and facing right, not facing forward like you and me. And when he was 9 years old, they went in, they cut the femur of both legs, turned his feet forward, put him in a body cast for 9 months, and his muscles from the waist down atrophied. He did not walk for 9 or 10 months. He had to learn to walk all over again, and he was the most uncoordinated person you have ever seen. He didn't walk with a cane, but for him to lift one leg and do a kick in karate, he would literally fall to his hands and knees because he was so uncoordinated. That's not black belt material. But that boy said to me, what's it going to take? And I said, Mark, it'll take you about 5.5 years and maybe a couple of hours of practice every day, because I was giving him more to do to compensate for what he had to deal with. And I didn't even know if he would be able to pull it off. And he said to me, is that all? When can I start? So we started. And 4 years later, 4.5 years later, sorry, 5.5 years later, Mark could beat me.
Wow.
And 6 years later, meaning a total of 6 years, Mark was the state champion.
Wow.
Now, he had, now here's a buzzword everybody needs to know. This is the phrase. I've got it copyrighted. He had a core desire to be a black belt. A core desire. In other words, something that was driving him at the very core of his being. The professor, it wasn't even close to a core desire. On a scale from 1 to 100, for Mark, it was 100. For the professor, it was like 2. He'd at least written it down on a piece of paper and given it a little bit of thought. Maybe it was 10. But only hundreds happen for all of us. If you're 50 on the scale, that's half-hearted. Half-hearted doesn't cut it in anything, in marketing, in business, in relationships, in marriage. It doesn't cut it in anything. Half-hearted, 50 on the scale. Well, what if you're 90 on the scale? You're getting up there, and people can't differentiate. They can't, well, I think I want this. And when we actually ascertain what it is that we're talking about, it's only 90 on the scale, and 90s will get you 90% of the way there. But you'll run into a barrier that's bigger at 91, a barrier that's bigger than your 90, and the barrier will stop you, just like a dam does water. And there are barriers, even if it's 100, there are barriers and obstacles. But you will overcome them and get past them because it's 100, something you want with all your heart, not half your heart, not three-quarters of your heart, not nine-tenths of your heart, but 100%, wholehearted. So let me give you a real-life example of how I demonstrate this on stage. And this is what my CDs are about and what my book's about. It teaches people how to do this. So I asked for volunteers after teaching kind of what I've taught you today. I said, would you like to see it work? I can demonstrate this on stage with strangers. And they say yes. So one lady came up, and she was probably, I'm going to think, 45 or 46 years old. I asked her, and you guys write this down, two questions, and here's the first one. What would you like to have that you're not giving? Give me one of your core desires. Now, remember, they understand what a core desire is, something they want with all their heart. And her answer was instantaneous. She said, oh, I want financial independence. Now, I turned to the audience and said, measure that on a scale from 1 to 100. Is it 100? And we all said, no, it's not 100. And I said, it's not 100. She said, how the heck could you say that? I know what I want. You don't know me. I do want financial independence. And so the second question gets asked. And everybody asks this second question. I call it the drill question. It drills down to the core. So I said, and I can't remember her name, let's say it was Mary. Mary, if you had financial independence, what would that give you that you don't have? So that's the drill question. If I had that, what would it give me that I'm not getting? And you keep asking that till you hit the truth. And this little story will give you an example of what that looks like. So I said, what would being financially independent give you that you don't have right now? And another instant answer, I'd travel. I just love to travel. And I turned to the audience and measure that, because I already knew the answer, and we all said it's not 100. She said, how can you say that? I love to travel. You're wrong. And I said, I'm not wrong. If you could travel, what would that give you that you don't have? This time she didn't answer instantly. This time she looked up at the ceiling. She thought for maybe 15 seconds, and that's an eternity when you're on stage when it's silent. And finally she said quietly into the microphone, peace. I turned to the audience and I said, measure that. We could tell instantly that the emotional response was higher than the other two. And I asked her the drill question again. By the way, if somebody says peace, you can assume that they don't have it, at least in one area of their life, so there's something missing. So I said, if you had peace, what would that give you that you're not getting right now? This time she looked at the floor. And for another 15 seconds, didn't answer. When she looked up, she was crying. Tears running down her cheeks. And she said, I'd be getting along with my husband. And I asked, would you like to learn how to get along with your husband? She said, I'd give anything I turned to the audience. I said, measure that. And we all knew that was 100. And then I said, why don't I talk to you about how to become one with your husband? Is he a good man? Yes. Does he abuse you? No. Is he a drug addict or an alcoholic? No. So there's nothing wrong with him. Right? We just butt heads all the time. I said, well, go home and tell this to him. So I gave her two sentences to say to him. She said, but he'll just get mad. He's sick and tired of therapy and all that. We've tried everything. I said, no, you haven't. Yes, we have. No, you haven't. How do you know? Because you haven't tried me. I wasn't there yet. So she said, okay, leave the seminar right now. Come back and tell me what he says. This was an all-day seminar. So she did. 3 or 4 hours later, she comes back. I invite her back on stage, and she's a changed woman. Magic happened. She went home and told her husband what I said. And by the way, this is a premise based on the truth setting you free. And she said, he didn't get mad. In fact, he said, I feel the same way. And he started to cry. And we sat there and held each other for the first time in years, both crying and wished we knew how to have what we used to have when we first got married. Please help us, Jack. And I committed to help them, and they became really happily married. Now, I want you to hear the end result. I just got a call from her today. This was many years ago, and she told me she has now written and published a book on how to have a good marriage, because so many people ask her, how do you have such a great relationship with your husband? When I first met her, they were talking divorce. That's the power that I call conquering force, that power that's within all of us. I call it the conquering force. How do you unleash it? Well, where's the switch? Core desires are the switch to that conquering force. Now, what if I had heard, I want to be financially independent, so immediately I sell her a program or teach her about making money, but her heart's not really in it. I had to drill down 4 different levels, like peeling the layers off of an onion. I had to drill down until I got to the 4th layer, which is, I want to be close to my husband. I want a good relationship with him. If I'd been telling her about making money, she would have listened. She would have bought whatever I might have been selling about that, and she would have done a little bit with it, but she wouldn't have gone after it with financial independence. Now, I want you to jump ahead. About a year later, she calls me, and I said, so how's things going? She says, I've never been happier. This is amazing. So are you working on financial independence? She says, no, we're okay. How about travel? I don't want to go anywhere without my husband, so we don't have a lot of money, so we don't travel much, but I'm very happy. Have you got peace? She said, I didn't know this kind of peace could exist. And again, she thanked me profusely for teaching her the truth about relationships and how to make that happen. That's what I teach all over the world, and it doesn't matter whether it's karate, relationships, making money, whatever area, photography, psychology, I don't care what it is. If you aren't getting what you want, it's a sure sign you don't want it badly enough, or you don't know how to make it happen. So bottom line is, if you don't get what you want and you're not applying yourself to it, don't beat yourself up and say, I must not have the discipline. I must not have I'm a procrastinator. You know, procrastination happens because you don't want to do something. You put it off because you don't want to do it. And so when you want to do something, you don't put it off. Duh, that's core desire stuff. Discipline's a byproduct of doing what you love to do, because when you love it, you are a disciple. A disciple is the root word of discipline. When you're a disciple, you willingly follow someone or some regimen. The operative word is willing. That's core desire stuff again. So if you're willing to do the system, I don't care if it's an exercise or diet program or relationships or making money. If you're willing, then somebody tells you got to do this, this, and this. The discipline's automatic to do it. So let's assume you don't do something. Here's what you say. I guess I didn't want it bad enough. You're not stupid. You don't. There's nothing wrong with you. You just didn't want it bad enough. Or you don't know how. And you can want something really bad but don't know how to pull it off. That's a fair quandary. So now you find a mentor, a teacher, a trainer. And my nickname is Mentor to Millions. I'm a mentor to people all over the world through the internet and by radio and television. Millions of people have heard me. And my job is to help them see the truth, which will set them free. And that's what I've been doing. And thank you so much for having me on your show so that I could do it for your listening audience, because I know it's the truth and it will set people free.
I tell you, and we still have another 10 minutes here where we can enjoy your wisdom and knowledge, because you are the mentor for all of us. But I just really want to, you know, just pause for two quick seconds here. Make sure that you check out Jack's website. I signed up for it. He has a great newsletter, and he has a program that you can download. He'll send you once you sign up. And give us that email again so that they can find that. And if you can just quickly make sure that they have that.
Okay, it's dnaofsuccess.com. It's the same name as my book. It's www.dnaofsuccess.com. And if you go there, I'll give you a free video. It's a $15,000 seminar that I did in Cancun, and it describes exactly what you saw today. In fact, you'll see people on stage, probably four or five of them, and I do with them exactly what I did with this woman I just told you about, so you can see it in action, and then you can say, I'm going to do that for me. Remember, Earl Nightingale and Mark Twain says the problem is people don't know what they want, and so I've solved that problem. Now, once you find out what you want with all your heart, it's easy then to find a book, a class, a course, a tape, or a CD, a preacher, a coach, a guide, somebody that knows how to do it, whatever it is that you've discovered as a core desire. And then you listen to that mentor and you'll follow their advice because it matters to you. And if it doesn't matter to you, the greatest teacher in the world isn't going to be valuable to you. Like the Tony Robbins story or me. I've worked with people and I know I taught them great principles, but their heart wasn't in it and they didn't apply it. It's not the teacher that matters, it's the student. How hungry is the student? A professor teaches out of the same darn book every year and some students get A's, some get C's, and some drop out. It's not the professor. It's how bad does that student want to learn that subject?
I think people listening, and the best thing that you can do for yourself is replay this. Make sure that you forward this show to a friend and realize that there's not something wrong with you. It's like Jack is saying, if there's a reason it's not happening, let's look at that. And asking that question, you know, what would that mean and what would that look like? And is it the thing or is it the feeling? And getting down to drilling those questions that will really get you what it is that you want, but we have to know what that is. And sometimes we don't even know ourselves what that really is in our heart, the passionate desire. And the thing that you really talk about, and you are this, is having a good mentor. We have to learn from other people that have been there and are doing it and living that authentic life. And why is that so necessary for success, having a good mentor?
Well, I believe that a mentor, a human being, is the shortest way, quickest way to learn anything. I have a black belt in karate. I can give you videos and books on it all day long, and you will never learn it as well as if I teach it to you. I'll teach you more in a half hour than a book can, because I've been there, done that. In fact, when I was teaching Mark, remember that story of that 14-year-old boy? When it was time for me to start teaching him to spar, I said, okay, Mark, you ready now? And I wouldn't let him fight the other kids his same age because he was so big and he was out of control. He would hurt them, so I could control him. So he wanted to, with his left foot facing me, he put his elbow up, and his elbow was parallel to the ground with his fist. So his ribs were wide open. And I said, Mark, you got to protect your ribs. Lower your elbow. And he says, got it. Okay, we'll do it. And in seconds, we're back up with the elbow, not protecting his ribs. I said, Mark, cover your ribs. Mark, cover your ribs. Lower your elbow. I told him that three or four times in a half hour. And finally, I just kicked him in the ribs because he wasn't getting it. I don't know why. And he says, I don't know why I keep forgetting, but I just don't. So I kicked him really hard in the ribs. And he goes, ah. I said, keep your elbow down. He says, got it. And then we go to spar again, and his elbow is clear down on, literally against his ribs. And I said, Mark, now that's too far down. You're going to have to protect your face as well. And he's fearful now. I'm going to kick him in the face. The purpose of that story is that there's no way he would have ever gotten that out of a book. So a mentor, in fact, I have 35 mentors in my life, and I actually created a mentor board. It's like the Employee of the Month plaques. This one's really fancy. It's probably 24 inches high and about maybe 14 inches wide, with 35 little brass plates on it. And it says at the top, to these people I owe an eternal debt of gratitude for their substantial influence in my life. And I listed them all chronologically. And I can tell you exactly what each one of those people did for me or taught me or said to me that changed the direction of my life dramatically. Mentors are the fastest way to learn anything. Books are okay, as long as they're addressing your core desires. There's nothing wrong with books or CDs if that's what a core desire if it's about your core desire. Now, my books and CDs are a little different because it teaches you how to figure out what your core desires are. However, there's nothing better than the real live teacher. What I actually did on this call today is not, or in a, on a video, you, is not the same as if you just read my book. And my book's really good. I mean, it's in 15 languages. I've in 3 printings. It's done well. And yet, it can't do what I just did with you on this call.
Well, I think that, you know, that old saying has lasted a long time. People don't always remember what you say, but they remember how you made them feel.
Oh, good.
And is that are we the best people we know now? Are we complimenting one another? No, the passion, I think anybody listening right now, the passion and the sincerity and the enthusiasm and your firsthand experience and, you know, just your story of the tragedy and being in the school and the people and the kids beating you up and the school of hard knocks and trying everything. I mean, that frustration, I think that we can really sit with that, and it resonates with so many of us, that this frustration, it really is real, but that desire to be all we were created to be and to have what you've coined the core desire, and really understanding what is it that I really want, that is a whole new way of looking. That's a whole new paradigm, and that's why that was your turning point, and that's what you're helping as a mentor to teach all of us here today. And
correct.
Your CD and getting your book and, you know, being able to connect with you is just such a gift. And, you know, this is your core desire, I guess, is to help us, right?
Yes, absolutely. I found out making money's easy. I love it, and I can do that. And once you have money, what's left if you don't go after power? And I didn't. What is left? Well, the greatest source of joy after my relationship with my wife and my family is serving others. It's a joyous thing to help others move a little further along the line down the road, or quantum leaps down the road, and know that you had a part to play in their life. Well, this is what you do as well. You know what that feels like. So if people don't know what they want with all their heart, and that's 97% of them, they need to get my book and CDs to help them figure that out. And there are 6 areas of life. People ask all the time, do I only have one core desire? No, you can have many. There are 6 areas of life: family, financial, social, spiritual, physical, and learning or educational. There's core desires in each one of them, and they're all intertwined. And so what if you're living a life where you're focusing all your time and energies and even money on things that you love with all your heart? Now, that's a happy life. And the end result will be what we talked about at the beginning. I think what you brought up is a life that is balanced. And my definition of a balanced life is that kind of a life where you've achieved a high level of harmony and satisfaction in all of your areas of life at the same time. In other words, you're getting what you want out of life. And or you're in the process of getting it, and so you enjoy the process. It's like learning to ski. You sometimes fall down, but you enjoy the process, and so you can learn to ski.
That's right. And, you know, I haven't met a person yet, and you've traveled all over the world, much more than most of us, but I haven't met anybody, no matter what language they speak or where they live, that doesn't want to be happy. Everybody has that innate desire to want to be happy, and everybody wants, I think, to know, you know, what am I here for? We're all here for, really, when you think about it, I mean, a really short amount of time. Even if you live to 100, it's really not that long.
Right.
And everybody deserves that happiness. Deserves to make a difference in their life, in their family's life, the business.
Yep.
And, you know, it's such a gift. We've only got 90 seconds left, Jack. Oh, my goodness. And this is just unbelievable. It's gone so fast. People, you need to get in touch with Jack. Get that CD. He's going to give us his websites again. I know that everybody, I didn't even get to the calls and switchboard and people in the chat room and so many people. Best gift you can give anybody is making sure that they get a copy of this. And can you give us those website links again so that we can have more of you?
There's only one, dnaofsuccess.com. dnaofsuccess.com. And that's where you can get my book and CDs or the free DVD, that $15,000 seminar. You can get on my newsletter, and I'll be sending you promotional materials as well as what I call warm, fuzzy letters, teaching principles of selling nothing until you unsubscribe. because I want to make a difference on this
planet.
I want to make a difference on this planet.
Any final words? You've been such a blessing and such a gift, and I know that I'm just, with everybody that's listening, just thanking you and asking God to continue blessing you because you're such a big blessing to everybody else. But any final word that you would like to share?
Well, thank you for that. I want to make a difference in lives, and truth will make a difference in yours, and I shine a bright light on the truth that you need. Your truth, I mean, the truth applies to everybody. 2 and 2 is 4 for everybody. However, what it is that you want would be different than what your husband wants or what your wife wants or what I want. But it's important that you find out what you want, and you do that by paying attention on a scale from 1 to 100, how you react to your answer emotionally, like those two examples I gave you. If the emotion is not there, it's not a core desire. If the emotion is there, which can look like a quiet sigh of, yeah, that's it, or yeah, that's it, that's exactly what I want, or absolutely, or something positive like that. If it's, I think it is, those are not core desires, because when it's a core desire, it's firm and it's quick, and it almost always has emotion. It does always have emotion of some kind, and sometimes even tears. That's when you've hit a core desire. Now the only thing that's left is find a teacher, trainer, mentor who can show you how to make it happen, a reality in your life.
And you would be that person for,
well,
for
one.
So many
so
of
you.
Us. Yes.
You are too.
Well, I am so very grateful for you being with us and the listeners, and there's still people in the chat room. I know we're not streaming anymore, but this has just been an amazing opportunity for you to share your wisdom with us and the lives that you're changing. I know that, you know, what you've done for me alone, it's just priceless, and I just know that people are going to enjoy going to your website and to continue learning from you, and, you know, just so grateful for you sharing your wisdom and what you've learned with us, because we all need to be purposeful and happy and peaceful, and the world's a better place when we are. So just thank you for being the best person we know and being on the show.
Well, thank you for putting me on your show.
Mentor to Millions. And we'll look for you on Facebook. You have a great page there, and you're on LinkedIn. You're in so many great places and making such a difference. So God is definitely shining on you, and we appreciate that. So thank you very, very much for being
on
the show today, Jack.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, for everybody listening, make sure that you send this show to a friend. Be a friend. Be a blessing, and you'll be blessed. Send this to somebody else so that they know that there's not something wrong with them. Find out what your core desire is. Do what you love. Know what it is that you want to be and do, and it will happen for you too. And then you'll be successful, and you'll have a great mentor in Jack to continue leading you that way. So sign up for his newsletter, get his book, and visit his website, thednaofsuccess.com. Make sure that you join us again. Tomorrow we have James Rick on, and you've seen him on Oprah and Fox Business News and so forth, and he's young, and he's got that DNA of success going too. So we'll see you tomorrow with James Rick at 2 p.m., and then Simran Singh is going to be here. She's chief editor of 1111 magazine, which is worldwide, and she'll be here on Thursday at noon. So thank you again for being on the Best People We Know radio show. You keep listening, and I'll keep bringing you guests. God bless. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.